fighting for America.
Washington, D.C. has never been more divided, more dysfunctional, or less productive than it's been in the last 6 years under President Barack Obama.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's currently an open season against Islam, Muslims in Washington, Muslims in the general media, dehumanizing Muslims in movies like American Sniper.
Fighting for you.
He didn't want handouts. He didn't want anyone to feel sorry for him. Ryan Jobe was just grateful and gracious, just an exceptional human being. I think we should all try to emulate Ryan's faith and hard work. He's just a great guy.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO, blessed to be a part of your day. Coming up, Byron York will join us. Senator Hagedorn will join us. Our friends from the Humane Society will join us. Let's see, anybody else that will join us? We've got a lot of joining us here this morning. Here's this morning at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Before we get to Byron from the Washington Examiner, we'll go to Tom Munns, tommunns.com. Good morning, sir.
Well, it sounds almost like a kumbaya this morning, eh, Kevin?
Well, we're here to bring people together.
Yeah, I can feel the love already. Well, I just wanted to call this morning because I miss you, and I wanted to remind everybody that it would seem with the laws and stuff that are coming down from Congress and that are coming down from the states that somehow we've believed that the government actually gets to tell us what our rights are. And just because they put pen to paper doesn't necessarily mean that it's something that is lawful. It might be legal, but it's not lawful. And the people can always determine what those rights are on their own, provided they have their head on straight.
Right.
Which is another worry. But I wanted to make sure that people understood that. You know, I mean, if our rights were protected, if our rights are granted by our Creator and they're protected by government, then how can they do the things that they're doing? And the answer to that is that the people don't know better or that they're running in fear. And fear has always enslaved the masses. And so as empowering as I can be, that's about all I can pull up with. But, you know, we've definitely got a lot to focus on. Most of us are overwhelmed. I just want to urge people to stay vigilant. And, you know, as down as people can get, let's get over that and move forward.
This is it? This what? Is all you have?
Oh, I've got more.
What is this, an inspirational message from Tom Munns?
Hey, it's my name.
That's what this show has come down to? Tom Munns on inspiration?
Well, we can talk about Hagedorn, and we can talk about the Concon Bill, and we can talk about the free trade agenda.
That sounds real exciting. By the way, at 580KIDO, our great friend Tom Munns with us, Representative Heather Scott will be the sponsor of House Bill 89. Do you think that's going to get out of committee now? Constitutional carry.
You know, like I said, it really doesn't. It shouldn't. It gets to the point where it really shouldn't matter to the people if it does or it doesn't, because the right is inherently ours. I've heard some great things about Heather Scott. I'm very, very excited about her. I guess she completely turned the North upside down as far as as far as the kind of stronghold that they had. And so liberty is rising up there. I think that's a great thing. I don't know if it's going to pass committee or not. I don't know. I already know the ultimate goal is to be able to strip America and Idaho, to strip our weapons away. It's been clarified by our own State Department in 1961. So it's the incremental move to lose it. So any time that you hear the word compromise, it basically means the people that love liberty have to give some of it up. It never means the other way around.
Very exciting here, Tom Munns. You're once again giving us a lot of positivity this morning.
Well, I mean, I tried to be positive, and that didn't seem to go well, so I'd hammer down.
I'm with you. Well, we always appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Hey, we appreciate you too, man.
You're a great American.
And you're a greater American.
Maybe a more rotund American.
Well, we love you anyway.
Well, thank you. We all need the love in the world.
Yeah. Well, give Hagedorn a smooch for me, will you?
Wow! Thank you, Tom Munns.
See you later.
All right. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Sometimes, if I may seem distracted, I have to apologize. We live in a multimedia world. Look, my favorite form of communication is speaking to you, but and here I go rationalizing things. I'm actually Facebooking, tweeting, and getting text messages as we're rolling along. We are waiting for Byron York, the pride of the University of Alabama. He just got off literally with the big Fox, Fox News, so we'll talk to him. If you get a chance, check out the Kevin Miller Facebook page. I haven't seen the story locally, but apparently Boise State wide receiver Rick Smith has been hospitalized after an alleged incident with a teammate. Now, let me apologize in advance to the local reporters if they've covered this. I haven't seen it, but we go now to Byron York joining us just off the Big Fox from the Washington Examiner. I've been a fan of his for years, and the pride of the University of Alabama. Roll Tide, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. We promise to do better next year.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, we're in Idaho, and I drive people crazy going back and forth about my love for Alabama. Let's talk a little bit about you, sir. Are you excited to come down tonight to the Lincoln Day festivities?
Absolutely. I'm delighted to be in Idaho. I have to confess, I have never been to Idaho before. And my wife and I took a couple of days, went to Sun Valley, and then just came to Boise last night, and we have just had a great time in Idaho, and we will definitely be back if we can.
Wow, so you were probably doing that hit from Mr. Yates's facility, I guess, in Boise.
No, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Bill Hemmer, I just was speaking to him on Fox, had just been in Sun Valley a few days ago himself. So we're part of the Idaho Tourist Promotion Authority right now.
Well, you know that Hemmer, he always tries to get the last word in. Great reporter, always tries to get you.
Well, actually, I talk to him all the time, and he is, I think, one of the best interviewers around. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we have a moment before I'm on, he'll go through, you know, I may ask you this, I may ask you that. Yeah, is there anything else you really need to push here? And he's always very, very thorough.
Yeah, I'm impressed with Hemmer. He's come a long way from CNN, sir. I had a chance to be on with him a few times, and you're right. He does the pre-interview very well. And unlike you, you know your facts. Somebody bumbling like me, he double-checks everything. But
well, that's pretty important.
In the factual world we live in. Mr. York, when we talk about Idaho, what is Idaho's role in the nation? You're going to be speaking tonight at the Lincoln Day Dinner at Ada County. Your thoughts as you're here in Idaho and what you're going to be talking about this evening.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about the Republican Party, the 2016 race, and where things are going. And we don't want to forget the Democrats, who have a lot of problems of their own. And a lot of times, if you come to a Republican gathering, there is a lot of talk about problems in the Republican Party. Can, you know, one candidate bring together the various factions of the Republican Party? Can the Republican Party, on a presidential level, rise above the problems that it had with the Romney campaign in 2012, addressing those many voters out there whose standard of living has actually gone down over many years and are looking for a candidate to tell them how he can make things better. And so there's a lot of, I think, emphasis on problems of the Republican Party. But we're also going to talk about the Democrats, who the huge question for them is, can they repeat can they extend the Obama coalition that led to victory for the president in 2008 and 2012? I personally think they're going to have an enormously difficult time for that. Doing that is going to be a big opportunity for Republicans. So we're going to go through all of those things. I'm going to be there, and also Mike Murphy, the political strategist, you often see him on NBC, is going to be there, and he just happens to be one of the most important people in the whole Jeb Bush world at the moment, so hopefully he'll have some interesting things to say about that.
Mr. York, let's talk a little bit about 2016, as you're going to speak about tonight. How can the Republicans really punch through when the Democrats, the libs, have such an advantage when it comes to the press? You look at how they treat the president, it makes the coverage of the Clinton administration seem hard-hitting.
Yeah, this has always been a problem. A Republican candidate just starts a few points down by having, you know, the Democrats have the press as their base, essentially. So the question is, how do you get the message out? Also, the coverage can be extremely critical. You know, if there's one thing, remember Mitt Romney's 47% remark. Maybe, you know, in an alternate universe, it could have been viewed as a gaffe or just an isolated mistake. But it became sort of Armageddon in the campaign in 2012. So there is this sense among Republicans that if they do mess up, their mistake will just be amplified in the press. And that's something that Republicans just have to deal with. My own sense is they need to certainly deal reach out to conservative press, but they also need to make sure that they, you know, treat a lot of reporters right and sort of keep them in, you know, close in the tent and have voices in a lot of the big mainstream media organizations.
580 KIDO as we continue on. Kevin Miller in the morning. Byron York with us here. What do you make of the candidates? Do the GOP does the GOP have too many?
Well, what is like 20 too many for you? Yeah, they have a lot. There's no doubt about it, and I think it's going to be real interesting. You know, the first debate is coming up in August in Columbus, Ohio, and the question is what's the criterion for getting into the debate going to be? And we'll have to see. But they do have a lot of candidates. But one thing that's interesting is they have a lot of candidates now who seem to have some problem or the other. Think back to 2011 and 2012. A lot of Republicans said, boy, this field is weak. This field is no good. But you just wait till 2016. Then it's going to be fantastic. We're going to have an embarrassment of riches. There'll be so many great candidates. Well, they don't quite think that as much. We have... oh, gosh, a whole bunch of them. Obviously, Jeb Bush is kind of trying to create a kind of shock and awe campaign just to show everybody that he's got all the donors and all the policy people and all the everybody. And, you know, you might as well not even take the trouble to run against him. Chris Christie has had his problems, as we know. I saw him in Iowa not too long ago. Actually did a good job, was well received. Scott Walker, the candidate of the moment, I think a lot of people are investing a lot of hope in him, because he is new, and I can't tell you how much Republicans in Iowa, for example, wanted somebody new. They did not want a voice from the past. Scott Walker could possibly be that. Marco Rubio, always a question with him. Has he hurt himself so much with his immigration reform effort, which is very unpopular with the Republican base? I mean, you can go through, but there's probably 10 people who have a serious chance of this. And each of them has a flaw of some sort, and that's what campaigns do. They emphasize flaws, they expose flaws, and they show you how well a candidate deals with adversity.
Byron York with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, in town for the Ada County Lincoln Day Dinner this evening. By the way, you can catch him on Fox News. You can catch him at the Washington Examiner. By the way, you write recently about Mr. Biden's women-touching habit.
Oh, man, could you believe what he did? Well, we all know, I think it was Tuesday, he was at the swearing-in of Ashton Carter, the new Secretary of Defense, and Carter's wife, Stephanie Carter, is standing behind him, and standing behind her is the Vice President. And during a large part of the speech, the Vice President has his hands on Mrs. Carter's shoulder, and then for no reason appears to just nuzzle her for a while, and then it's almost as if he sees, oh, wait a minute, I'm in public, and then he pulls back and folds his hand in front of him. It would be a weird moment, and is especially weird, I think, in the sense that the Vice President has done stuff like this before. And what we simply did at the Washington Examiner was collect some photos. Remember the in January, the swearing-in day of new senators, and actually re-elected senators as well, the Vice President was very handsy, shall we say. It was just touching people all over the place. And we've had examples before, and I had some pictures from that before. And the question is this just kind of innocent, all innocent fun? You know, Joe is just being Joe. He's a very outgoing guy. Or is this the kind of behavior that would actually draw a complaint in the workplace? So, you know, I would not be surprised to see the Vice President try to cool it in future appearances.
What's it like to put thoughts in the world words for a living and have people just be moved by what you do? I mean, we go back to the Mitt Romney experience. You were the one that exposed that, hey, if Romney got 70% of the vote, he still, of the Hispanic vote, he still wouldn't have won.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing when I went through those numbers, because, you know, the immediate post-election analysis had been that Republicans had lost because they failed to get enough Hispanic votes. And so I was just looking at the numbers, seeing, well, how many Hispanic votes would it have taken for Romney to win enough electoral votes to win the presidency? And it was huge. It would have had to be close to 70% because Romney underperformed in other areas as well. So actually, it's great. Every day I wake up thinking about some sort of different thing that I need to write about. And, you know, today, this morning at Fox, we were talking about the president's speech at the Countering Violent Extremism Summit. Violent extremism, in case you don't know, is Islamic terrorism. They don't call it that. But it's having some voice is just an extremely rewarding thing.
Mr. Yurek, we'll have a couple more, and then I know you've got to rest, and we appreciate you making time. We're big fans of your work. You take a look at the future of the Republican Party. Where is social conservatism?
Social conservatism is where it always was. It's very strong in some areas of the Republican Party. It's strong in Iowa. It's strong in South Carolina. It's strong in other parts of the South, and the South is the Republican Party's strongest region. But it's not the whole picture. And I think there are a number of Republican reformers who believe that social conservatives have had too strong a voice, that the party, for example, has been too strongly identified with being anti-abortion. Not that these people are pro-abortion. They just felt there's been too much emphasis placed on the Republican Party's pro-life stance. And they would like to see a bit of shift in emphasis from social issues to the economic issues. You know, I mentioned earlier, millions of Americans have seen their median income go down over the years, and not just in the economic crisis of the last several years, but going back before that as well. They've seen their net worth decline. Something is wrong for them, and the social issues, a stress on the social issues, does not address those problems. So there is a debate inside the Republican Party, as there has been for quite a while, about how much the social issues should be emphasized. There is absolutely zero danger of the Republican Party becoming a pro-choice party. That's not the question. It's simply a question of emphasis among other issues at the present time.
And finally, who would have thought that after we, having lived in Alabama for several years myself and worked there, we ran Urban Meyer out of the SEC, that he'd come back and get us at Ohio State?
You know, I just didn't think that was going to happen. Although I have to say, with the University of Alabama, what was the score against Auburn? I think they let Auburn score 44 points against them, and then the Ohio State scored, what was it, 42 points against them.
They only lost by 7, though.
You cannot allow your opponents to score 44 and 42 points against you in two consecutive games and expect to win them both. So that was a problem.
Spoken like a true alumnus of the University of Alabama. Mr. Yurek, have a great time in Idaho. We appreciate you making time for us.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
All right. Byron Yurek joining us, Fox News contributor, The Washington Examiner, tonight, Ada County Lincoln Day Dinner. Get your tickets now. It is 7:23, 31 degrees, a lot going on. 31 in Meridian. Let's get you to traffic now at 5.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Nor should we grant these terrorists the religious legitimacy that they seek. They are not religious leaders, they're terrorists. And we are not at war with Islam. We are at war with people who have perverted Islam.
There you have it. No mention of the killing of the Christians. There we have it. Our friend President Obama, Kevin Miller, in the morning coming up. Senator Hagedorn will join us. We'll talk guns, the budget, and education. We want to thank Byron Yurek for joining us. Let's go to Tony in Boise at 580KIDO. Hello, Tony.
Good morning. Well, I just had this to bring up. The domination, the world domination as the Islam, ever since they started, where they began on the Tower of Babel, or began about 300 years ago with Muhammad, it don't matter. The number one goal for them is to dominate the world. It's either their way or the highway. And they have that one hope that they have come with, that they have.
Well, no, no, right. Not according to the president. The president says.
Well, not according to him. This is according to me, and you know, and a word that I got. But
are you saying you're more credible than the president of the United States?
Oh, I'm sure what I'm saying is I'm more credible than what I'm saying than what he's saying.
Okay, go ahead.
They have attained the only position and place that they are directing traffic from in there, and it's Islam is at the White House. Everyone that's in there right now in that meeting or that conference is all Islam. There's none other else, and they all don't like Israel, period. And that's the goal of Islam, dominate the world. And they're not going to go away. And they're not just going to drop this, their position, where they're at right now. Obama is going to do whatever it takes while he has the reins. And that is the scary part.
It is.
Because 2 years from now, if we still have anything left, our votes won't even mean nothing. It's established. This guy is in there, and and that's my thoughts of all this. I've been trying to get to somebody to take this to. It's been with me for 2 months.
Well, I'm glad you found us. Remember, it's Kevin Miller on 580KIDO.
Yes, it is.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Don't forget, coming up at 8:30, NASCAR driver Brian Scott will join us. A very special program. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to our friends with the Idaho Humane Society. Let's go to the phones, and we go to Liberal Steve with Kevin Miller.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Good morning.
And good morning to the knothead that called me a knothead yesterday morning as soon as he got on your line. Thanks for letting you people that call you disgrace me. Anyway, this Islam thing, the president said the right thing. This is terrorists, Islamic terrorists. He doesn't have to put the word in front of it. They're terrorists. And like the president can just snap his fingers and stop what's going on with Iran is conniving and Iraq is conniving. And those people are ingrained in their own people, their own religions. Egyptian Christians were killed. Let Egyptians solve it. Japanese people were executed. Let the Japanese solve it. Why do you want a 9-1-1 the United States into everything? Why?
Because if we don't take care of them now.
Who's we? Kevin Miller going to put on a rifle and a backpack and go over there?
They're going to be over here very soon. I guess we're still waiting for Senator Hagedorn. You're not Senator Hagedorn, are you?
Like Ed Schultz said.
Hold on. Are you Senator Hagedorn? Because he's supposed to be on right now. Are you Senator Hagedorn?
Cheney and Bush, I wouldn't be a senator for all the tea in China.
Okay.
Because I don't lie to people. That's why people are upset with me all the time, Kevin Miller, because I speak the truth all the time. And how long have we been over there now? What was it? 2000 what? So we've been there 12 years, 13 years. Has anything changed? And when Bush had when our troops were there, they were blowing up people in the streets still. How many times did they have IUDs and human bombers going off while we were still there?
I think that's
11 times.
IED.
Well, it doesn't matter what you call it.
Why doesn't the president acknowledge the killing of the Christians?
He already acknowledged that like 3-4 days ago, and right after it happened, 2 days later.
He didn't mention the Christians. He said Egyptian citizens.
Yeah. Oh,
why doesn't
on.
The president acknowledge the killing of the Christians? He seems overly sensitive
because
to
Kevin,
the Muslim community over the Christian community.
What if they were atheists, Kevin? What if they cut the heads off 21 atheists?
I'm not talking about atheists. I'm saying, why doesn't the president acknowledge the killing of the Christians that is going on in the Middle East since he took over?
you're dancing around it. A human's a human. Whether it has a faith when a baby's born, it's born into a faith.
You're the one talking about the Muslims and the Islam. What? Thanks for the call. Still waiting for Senator Hagedorn. Let's go to Terry in State College, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, thank you for saving me from that.
Well, you know, I have some breaking news. The Boise's Got Talent. I understand that the lead group there was, what was it, Ellis and the Airheads doing their rendition of I Like to Babble. And I was just wondering, when is that going to become public news? Well, that's really all I had to say. I had heard it, and it seemed to be the bar talk yesterday up here at the corner bar in Marsing. And
the hits on the corner. So we have Liberal Steve on atheism and Islam, and you giving us the best of the corner bar in Marsing.
Well, who is?
I don't think we'll be. I don't think we'll ever be going back to the Marconi Awards with this one.
Well, Ellis and the Airheads. I just love the name of it. You know, and I like to babble. I just understand it's going to be a big hit.
Well, that and Vanilla Ice got arrested for allegedly breaking into somebody's house.
Go figure. Maybe Ronnie was with him.
Well.
Hey, Kevin, you have a great day.
God bless.
Thank you.
Joining us now, the pride of Meridian, Idaho, Senator Marv Hagedorn. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I get all nervous. I rely on you for content. If I have to do this myself, which I guess what they're paying me for, I get all jumbly and have to go to Liberal Steve.
That's sad. That's truly sad.
It is my existence, sir. So before we get talk politics, a lot of folks know, but for those that don't, you are an advocate of the Wyakin Warriors, of the folks that have come back. We thank you for your service. What's going on with the Wyakin Warriors? We hear about them a few times a year, but you're there all the time.
You know, things are going really well with the program. We have a pipeline set up now for about 30 students a year that we can afford to have in the pipeline. And it's we have severely wounded veterans that are transitioning out of the hospitals and out of the military and going to all different schools in the Treasure Valley here. And we provide them mentoring, professional development. They do community service projects, all kinds of things, and then we network them into a career. And it's working phenomenally.
Senator, we appreciate that. And certainly, why is it important that we do this when we have all these folks coming back? In the old days, we didn't have programs like this.
You're absolutely right. In the old days, neighbors used to be neighbors and help each other out. And we've got our society is just too busy. It used to be that someone, you know, our veterans would come home, we'd give them parades, and people would offer them jobs that didn't even exist but would figure out how to make that happen. And we've kind of lost that now. We have an all-volunteer force. We're going to have 200,000 veterans coming home every year for the next few years, and they're all great people who are looking for good careers back in the private sector.
Well, I guess we have to get to business now.
Let's do it.
Your thoughts on the gun legislation? I know you've got a Senate bill. It got derailed last year. It's this is almost like gun talk that we do each and every day.
there's gun bills just about every year, and the last few years we've been a lot more successful than we were the previous years. And I think we've been more successful because we've got more people talking about what we really need to do, what the objective is, and then how to get there. And we're trying to compare bills as we can to get the best out of all of them. And that's kind of what we're trying to do. We introduced, there's H-89 that was introduced in the House. I purple slipped that for Greg. And a purple slip means a legislator allows a citizen or an individual to go down to and use legislative services office. And the reason I did that is Greg came into my office. We'd been talking about constitutional carry for over a year. And he came into my office and said, everybody likes the concept of constitutional carry. And, I got all these legislators saying that they would vote for it. And I said, well, show me your language. And he said, well, I don't have any language. And I said, well, we don't put concepts into statute. We put language in statute. So I purple slip it for him so he could go down, draft some language, and then start to shop that around and get feedback and input on what was good and what was bad. And so, anyway, that's where we are with H-89 in the House right now. We introduced 1090, Senate Bill 1090, last Friday. That was similar but different about carry. It also removed the exemption for elected officials. Whether you're in a legislature or sewer district or whatever that is, doesn't matter. You don't get or you shouldn't get an exemption that the rest of the public doesn't get. And it also does some other things, too, like put our reciprocity agreements. We're a state that has more reciprocity agreements than any other state in the nation now for concealed carry. And 1090 also puts those agreements, makes them available for the public to view. Believe it or not, they're not available now. Anyway, and then there was H-66 that came from the House over to the Senate. That clarifies that when your concealed weapons permit is going to expire, that the sheriff needs to send out a renewal notice. And so right now, I think that's all the gun bills that I know of that are in the queue. I know there's going to be another one that's coming, and I'm not at liberty to talk about that one yet.
Well, we have Representative Scott just announced on this program that she'll be the sponsor of constitutional carry, the House Bill 89, the House version, sir. Your thoughts on that?
I've met Representative Scott. I don't know her really well, but I'm glad someone is picking up on that and going to run with the ball. It's my understanding there's some language concerns about the language in that bill, and quite frankly, there's some language concerns in Senate Bill 1090. And so we're going to work through all of these issues.
Senator, before we get to a couple calls here, can you talk a little bit about the Idaho Education Network? I mean, here we are. The plug may be pulled on the Internet. Obviously, I'm sure you've heard from your constituents on that.
Boy, what a mess this is. We had authorized funding to create this network to interconnect all of our schools so a teacher in Blackfoot that might have some expertise that the teacher's staff in Potlatch don't have could teach a class over the Internet. And I've sat through some of those classes and that capability. Holy smokes. I mean, it's much more than just Skype. It's really, really good, and it's effective. This is not a legislative issue. It becomes a legislative issue, and it is now. There was a contract that was written between the provider and the state, and that just recently the courts found that contract was not good and null and void. And so now the legislature in session has got to figure out a way, how do we keep the lights on? How do we keep that network going? And because of the legal ramifications of going back to the contractor that currently is providing the service, we can't just give that guy money and go, just keep the lights on till the end of the school year. So every school district right now has got to go out and try and find their own provider to connect to that backbone of the Internet so we can keep this function going and keep those kids, keep that access available. And it's a mess. It really is a mess that we're all trying to solve. It's not a matter of money right now for the IEM. It's a matter of legality and who you can contract with and who you can't.
Senator, one more question. What about the budget? How's that looking?
JFAC is in the budget setting process. I believe next week they start setting budgets. The end of this week or maybe early next week, they decide what their target for the budget will be. I suspect it'll be around $3 billion, $3.1 and change billion, maybe $3.2. And then they will start writing the budgets to focus and target that number. And thus far they've been having briefs from all of the departments, from the executive branch departments, as justifying as to why they need the money that they've requested. And now JFAC will start to come in early. That's a tough job on that committee. A lot of hours, a lot of bandwidth needed. When I was on that committee, I had absolutely zero time to run bills. It's a tough job. And so they'll start setting those budgets probably next week, if I remember the timeline.
And quickly to the phones, one question for Senator Hagedorn, Tea Party Bob.
Okay. Good morning, Senator. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Bob.
You've been involved in just about every gun bill that's been brought to the legislature in the last 3 years. And my big problem here is that every time we get a gun bill that goes to this legislature, for some reason it gets put aside and another one comes in its place. And it seems like the NRA lobbyists are watering down these gun rights. Constitutional carry means you can carry a weapon, concealed or open, without a permit anyplace. The bill that you're carrying now, from what I understand, only allows you to carry concealed outside of the city limits.
Roger that, and that'll be it. Senator Hagedorn, 30 seconds to respond, please.
Well, there are two bills. One is constitutional, is permitless carry. That permitless carry impacts some of the reciprocity agreements that we have with surrounding states, specifically Washington State for our northern folks, and Nevada for the folks down around that border. So if you routinely carry into those areas, then the permitless carry can and very likely will affect those agreements.
Sure. Senator, we've got to run. We'd love to have you back.
Gotcha. Okay, anytime, Kevin. Absolutely anytime. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Quickly, traffic.